To stay on top in business, stay on top of your technology with the new Business Desk podcast, The Business of Tech. Listen on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.
And New Zealand Herald Deputy Political Editor Thomas Coughlin joins me now. How are you, Thomas?
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Calvin Davis issued an apology this week to ex Karen Chua. Was it genuine, do you believe?
Oh, I hope so. I'm not sure whether it was certainly a bit late, which might speak to how genuine it was. I mean, the comments about her vanilla lens on life and her, you know, being Māori but not having that Māori worldview were pretty offensive. And I think that offence was felt from across the house. But it certainly looked like the apology came after the outcry, which suggests the apology was more in relation to perhaps the political outcry than actually him realising that what he said was a bit offensive and hurtful. I reckon what was actually genuine was how hurt Karen Chua felt about it. She was very visibly moved, upset by those comments, and they really kind of landed a blow. And I think that to most people, spoke to just how offensive the comments were, that actually, you know, for a moment there, someone withdrew from the Cut and Thrust of Parliament and was pretty visibly hurt by something that was objectively quite a hurtful thing to say.
I'd say that former Deputy Prime Minister Paula Bennett, she described the comments as racist, offensive and divisive. Do you think that's a fair call?
Yeah, I probably do. I mean, you know, a lot of the commentary since was focused on the fact that, you know, it's no one has any right to decide what makes someone Māori or not Māori. You know, Karen Chua is absolutely Māori, and she has every right to live, her ethnicity in any way she kind of wants to. So yeah, it's interesting to see Paula Bennett step in, with regards to that, because it's something that she faced as well. This sort of allegation that there is one way of being Māori that certain Māori on the right fall short of. And so, yeah, I think it's probably quite a wise intervention of Paula Bennett there to sort of back her up.
Thomas, I'm sure that you've been following British politics this week. Are there any domestic implications with the manner in which Liz Truss's financial policy has played out?
This is quite an incredible. I have been watching British politics this week. I've been glued to my phone. And basically, the short of it is that Liz Truss cut taxes and increased its spending at the same time and didn't give the markets any picture of how she's going to pay for it. And the markets had a meltdown and the British currency collapsed and the British cost of borrowing increased because the market said, well, hold on, we don't want to back all the borrowing that you're going to do. Now, eagle-eyed political observers notice that the National Party is also going to the election next year with a policy to cut taxes, to cut the top tax rate, like Liz Truss was doing, and to cut other tax rates, and also to increase spending in health and education at the same time. So Labour was quite keen to say that actually, you know, this could be a domestic version of what Liz Truss has tried to do. The numbers don't actually quite pick it up. The Liz Truss proposal is massive. It's about 4.5% of GDP. It's tens of billions of pounds. Whereas the National Party proposal, their tax proposal is quite small. I mean, even if you chuck everything in there, it's about $3 to $5 billion. And their spending proposals are about $2 billion. Dollars, I should say. So they're quite a bit smaller as a percentage of GDP. It's a similar kind of vibe, but. It is much more paid for than the trust pay. And so even though it looks the same on the outside, the scale of it just doesn't quite bear that comparison out.
Thanks so much, Thomas. Nice to catch up with you this morning.
Shared Lunch is your chance to see behind the share price of the companies you invest in.
I'm not sure that 2024 will be a year that people remember fondly.
Hear from CEOs and experts with a fresh take on what's happening in the markets here and abroad.
There are a number of reasons that you might hold Bitcoin. It's often described as digital gold.
Shared Lunch from Sharesies with Business Desk.
You know, the World Bank is reported as saying that we're probably 3 years into 5 very difficult years. Where are the opportunities for people here?
When it comes to investing, we'll always bring something to the table. Listen on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.